until you remember, right? We were talking about the continent, the African continent. Now, I know we left you with part one. Great information, great conversation. So, we're going to pick right back up from where we left off, starting with part two. Again, these gentlemen are giving you great information. And again, reach out to them and learn more about the continent of Africa. Learn more about the nations they're from. Learn more about the diversity that they're explaining and offering. Let's go. Max, that was an amazing answer. And I love the diversity of the answer. So as we add diversity to answers, we add diversity to the conversation. So Fiend has joined us. And this is more diversity specifically focused on the continent. And so with that, Fiend, welcome to the call. I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from, a little bit about who you are. And then I want you to answer the question about the relationship building in comparison here in Colombia and what it's been like in your home nation. So welcome, and I will leave the floor to you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a while since we had this kind of conversations. Well, my name is Fiend Ebenezer from Nigeria. I'm a young guy who wanted to travel the world. And, well, I found Colombia. So when I was in the university, I was studying environmental sciences, majoring in urban planning. And then I had this university lecturer who was like my mentor. And he told me that if I wanted to be like him, basically, if I wanted to work with the United Nations and stuff, I had to travel abroad. So that was how I started looking for opportunities and found the program run by the Colombian government, jumped on it, and we're still here. That's basically my story here.
All right, that's awesome. So we've been talking about, specifically on this last question, is about relationship building and what it's been like here in Colombia and what it's like at home. And so everyone's sort of given their take, which for me, and the reason this conversation is existing is because I am a Black American, right? My father's from Jamaica, but I'm a Black American. I lived in the United States, specifically in New York and in the South for my whole life. And so I want to make sure people have a full idea of Africa, the continent, and the diversity that exists there. And so some of these things that I've heard from these gentlemen, firsthand experiences about relationship building back home compared to here, have been eye-opening for me. So for you, what has it been like relationship building here in Colombia, and what it's been like and what compared to what it's like at home?
Well, relationship building, I'll say Colombians are generally welcoming people, so it's been quite easy to have like a network of friends, a support network all my way from home. You know, when we came here, we had the Ministry of Education backing us up. We had staff from our school. We had quite a network. So generally, it's been awesome building relationships, having friendship, especially friendship. I know a lot of people talk about dating and all that. So I'm gonna start from that friendship aspect. I'm quite happy that as a Black man in a mostly it's a diverse society, but in a mostly I'll say white society, it's been great just making friends with people, learning about their culture and stuff. And then taking up the conversation from what my colleague said about dating, I as well came from a very, very, very conservative family. My dad is a pastor, he's still a pastor. So he's quite the open-minded pastor, you know, he lets us do stuff. He lets us experiment stuff. And he asks us about who is your friend, who is your girlfriend, who are you dating? But when I first came to Colombia, actually, I was not quite looking for a relationship. I didn't really know how to approach. I had a girlfriend then in Armenia, but it wasn't quite a I don't know. You know, we didn't quite understand each other very well. So we're just trying to explore ourselves and understand each other. So But then generally, like Max was mentioning that being a foreigner is just, it's interesting for Colombians to interact with us, especially people like us that are from Africa. You know, it's far away. They interact with, I don't know, Americans all the time. They interact with Europeans all the time. But it's just curious for them, like, oh, you're from Africa? What are you doing here? And then that's how the conversation starts. That's how you make friends. That's how you build relationships. So dating has not, I wouldn't say it's been hard. I would just say it's been, it came with a lot of challenges of learning them, learning, you know, the language, learning what tingles them, what makes them, what makes their heart sing, I would say. And just starting building on that, building the relationships on that. And I would say I'm very grateful to Colombia for all the, you know, cool, pretty cool relationships, strong relationships that I've built over the years here in Colombia. I mean, I've been in Ecuador as well. Ecuador is a little bit different from Colombia, you know. I would say it's a more nationalist and more maybe we should use the word conservative society. In the sense that they don't really want to relate that much with foreigners generally, even not with Colombians, you know, even the relationship between an Ecuadorian and a Colombian, which is basically the same country. It was the same country.
Right.
So, yeah, the way they relate surprises me. It's like they don't really like each other, which I was like, what the heck? So that's one of the reasons why I'm not in Ecuador right now. You know, it's Colombia opens, and I would say opened and still opens its arms to me, and I just love it.
So it's an interesting thing that you all have brought to these conversations, because there's three different nations represented in this conversation. It's really cool, but I want to specifically touch on one final point that I think it's worth noting. And Fien kind of alluded to it a little bit. And we'll start with Ibrahim, you first, and then we'll go Max, Anthony, Rizak, and then Fien, you'll be last since you kind of alluded to it a little bit. What is your feeling when people come to you or address you with stereotypes about Africa, the continent, when you are all, because your countries are in Africa, you're African? So what is the feeling you get, and what do you do to help educate them or correct them and to make them interested in knowing more about Africa? It's a sort of a diverse question, but for instance, for me, because I'm American, people always, you know, they have ideas about the country. Now, obviously not to date this, so at the time, like, during this conversation, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And people ask me when they know I'm American, so what do you think about Donald Trump? Because I'm a black guy, and they ask me about Donald Trump. So they expect a little bit of fire from me, but they don't get any because, you know, that's who I am. I leave that out because it is what it is. But I think the difference is the United States is sort of, you can kind of understand because so much of us is depicted in film. But in the nations that exist in Africa are, again, 54. So it can't be the same. So you have to, in a way, I feel like you could be a little offended, but maybe you're not. So again, what's your take on when people, specifically Colombians or other places where people have said they had perceptions about Africa, how do you address them? And what do you do to kind of make them want to know more? And so we'll start with Ibrahim, followed by I think I said Max, Rizak, Anthony, and then end with Fien. So go ahead, Ibrahim.
Right. So, you know, I get that a lot, not just in Colombia. Like everybody was saying, you know, it's like some people are interested once they find out that you're a foreigner, you're from a faraway nation for them. Like you tell them you're from Egypt and they're like, whoa, what is that? Where is that? Or somebody will tell you, oh, the pyramids, they were built by aliens, which I sound like I hate to hear, but you know, it's just you take it and you explain and you try. And I like when people ask me, you know, it's better to ask and learn rather than keep your own kind of misinformed opinion, right? But it sometimes that question is offensive, not just in Colombia, anywhere. And I get it, you know, in terms of like being Arab or Muslim, so like the terrorist part of it. I get the African part of it. Well, oh, you're from Africa. Like, where is Egypt? Egypt is in Africa. Oh, I know that everybody's poor. You know, it's like you get this these kind of preconceptions and you start to explain. No, you know what? Like, if I'm in Colombia and the person is super offensive, sometimes I try to offend them a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm trying, okay, so look at your country, right? And then look at Africa, and not just at Egypt, like look at Rwanda, look at Kenya, look at Nigeria, look at a lot of countries where the development now is insane, all right? And the speed and rate of change right now is extreme, right? It's a lot better than it is in South America, for example. And you try to explain to them that this continent is a lot of countries. Each country has its own cultural heritage, has its own economic development plan, and some of them are a lot better than what you find in South America. But you do get these questions, and at the end of the day, you know, like I was saying, it's better for someone. I find it like it's better to ask me, you know, and get some information that might interest you to go and research and read, rather than keep your own preconceived ideas that you got from an American movie or from a story or from somebody who traveled 50 years ago and tells you, oh, like in Africa, they are all looking for food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it happens. You get that kind of reaction. You know what I mean?
That's so, facts, yeah.
Yeah, I get somebody, oh, your name is weird. Like, okay, yeah, fine. I know my name is weird. You know what I mean? It's an Arabic name. I'm Muslim. Oh, Muslim like Bin Laden or whatever hell. You know, they try to explain to them like this is religion and it's basically people who worship the same God, blah, blah, blah. And you go on explaining. And at the end of the day, like whatever their preconceptions are, it's good for them to hear it directly from somebody who's actually from that place rather than just, just parrot ideas that they hear from somewhere else that is pretty much always misinformed. You know what I mean? So I do appreciate people who ask rather than people who just take a side and you feel it. You know, you do feel the racism when somebody hears you're from Africa or you're Arab or whatever, and then they start taking the side. You definitely feel that too. And like I said, it's not just Colombia. It's all over the world. It happened to me like in different countries in Asia, in North America, in Europe. It happens, you know, and you have to deal with it.
All right. And Max, what about you, man?
Yeah, so basically, I got similar questions, you know, but, you know, looking at my profession as a teacher, you know, I'm here to educate people. And like I said from the beginning, I was looking for that platform to, you know, right the wrongs, you know. And I think a lot of the damages made to Africa has been done by the media, you know, and a lot of movies being shown about the continent, you know, and they have a lot of stereotypes, negative stuff about this continent. I get these questions a lot that, oh, in Africa, some students ask me, is it true that people live on trees? And yeah, is it true that people live on trees and they see all these kids with flies on their faces on the news? And I'm like, well, that's just one part of the news. So you should look at the other argument. And there's some spectacular countries in Africa doing great, like Ghana, for instance. I mean, when Obama was the president of the United States, when he was coming to Africa, he chose Ghana to be even though he has roots from Kenya, but he decided to come to Ghana because he said,
the progress we're making in Ghana, when people talk about all these kind of stereotypes, and when Obama decided to come to Africa for the first time, when he became the first black president of the United States, he chose to come to Ghana because he said Ghana was like a shining star, or we were like leading the road to democracy, because Ghana has been the only country in Africa where the opposition has been winning. We've been having like peaceful transfer of power from the incumbent to the opposition several years. So talking about that, it's not like we bad as they make us look, but I think it's more of the damages are being made by the media houses, and I'm here to educate. So when I get questions like that, I try to educate them. I try to tell them how the real life is. And I try to also lead by example, because, you know, actions actually speaks louder than words. So sometimes you might be saying what the continent looks like, but if your lifestyle is different, they also have the same picture. So sometimes they're marveled, like, oh, I'm from Africa, and how come I travel around the world? Because they see my pictures on social media. They're like, is it true that you're from Africa? I'm like, yeah, I'm from Africa, but I can also travel. I can also live my life like a normal human being. So, and I don't have to, I mean, answer any questions living my best life as an African, you know? So I feel like we just have to be true to ourselves and also lead by examples as Africans. So when those questions come up, we can also answer them by the actions or by the lifestyle we also live in out here in South America, Colombia to be precise. And I have a military student, like a Colombian army student. He's from the Colombian army. And he has a project. He's gonna work for the UN, and they have a mission in Africa, in Central African Republic. So he hooked me up. He was like, he wanted to know more about the continent, because he's traveling, I think, in January next year. So he wanted to know a lot. And this is somebody who has zero idea about the continent. So I had to pick it from the scratch. And I told him, I asked him, what is your idea? What do you know? What have you heard about this continent? So, oh, I mean, I just watched it on the news. Like, I mean, the whole continent is poor people. I mean, living on trees, it's just about animals. It's just about this, the jungles. It's just about, I'm like, there's more to Africa than that, you know. It's a rich, you know, we've got one of the richest cultures in the world. And I don't know, last year, December, the president of Ghana actually commissioned a project where he was actually calling all the, you know, all the black foreigners or all the black people from other countries to come back home, and you can get citizenship in Ghana. Okay, right, if you're able to, yeah, you can get citizenship. So there were a lot of American, black American celebrities who went back to Ghana during the December, and they were trying to look for their roots. Idris Elba was one of them, and I'm not too sure of the names. And yeah, so they came back home and they traced their roots, and once they find out they're from Ghana, they lived on their best life. So I feel like the damages are being made by the media houses, and we as individuals representing the continent can correct the wrongs by our lifestyle or proving them wrong, you know? All right. That's what I can say.
That's awesome. Anthony, what you got for me, man?
Oh, great. Yeah, so everything Maxwell talked about is actually true. I really feel like most of the damages are done by the media. For instance, the first time I came down to Pasto and went to my center, we were given a time to introduce ourselves, and the students were asked to ask us questions. And I really received like really interesting questions. Razak was also there. I was there with Razak. So some of the questions were like, "Oi, profe, in su país, ustedes tienen taxi?"
That's a stupid answer to question.
For real. Okay, instead of duerme en bosque, tienes casa.
Yeah. Well, actually, one student asked me if we have onions in Ghana. I'm like, what the?
and one asked me, profe, y Africa, y avión, ¿cómo viene acá?
They asked us how we came to Colombia. We told them we came in a ship.
I get that question. Like, how did you come to Colombia? Like, how did you get here? Like, come on. I took the boat.
In my head, I was like, guys, you think I came on caballos?
Go ahead.
After the question, I just asked them, so what do you know about Colombia? What kind of perception do you think people outside Colombia have about the country? And they were like, well, many people know Colombia is like a drug country, like they are into drug trafficking, violence and stuff. And I was like, that's excellent. So what about you yourself? what do you think Colombia, what kind of country do you think Colombia is? And they were like, okay, Colombia is somehow peaceful and it's not really like into drug as people perceive. And I was like, okay, that's cool. How did they know about this information from Africa? Like Africa is just one country because all the people over there are black. So like everybody there is like, we are all black. So you mean the whole Africa is like a continent. So I was telling them that Africa has like many countries and it's even bigger than like America combined.
Yeah.
So the other question they normally ask is, but it's like Africa is very poor because they normally see on television, like people struggling for water, for food, like no places to sleep, a lot of like disease attack in many. I was telling them, it's the same thing we also hear about Colombia when we are back in our country. About Colombia is like some, when I was coming, I even think like we're planting like wheat like on the streets in Colombia because that's what we perceive. And that's what the media wants us to know. And it's the same thing that they also know about Africa from the media. So like Maxwell said, the best thing for us to do is to lead by example. And for the past 5 years, we've been living together like with them in the community. Our actions and our like characteristics, like what we do, our attitudes are portraying what we actually, where we are actually from. And it's changing a lot of minds because some of them senior, they'll be like, ah, because even back in Pasto here, they don't have like, they've never even seen like a black man like riding bicycle, like cycling, like a pro cyclist, something like that. And I have a bike, so I normally go cycling. So anytime like I'm on the road, people stop me and ask me, where are you from? Don't divide.
Seriously. That's true. I mean, just to add to that quickly, you know, Colombia, like there is still racism here in Colombia. You know, Colombia has, they have majority of black people here, but their form of racism is hidden in their diversity, you know?
Seriously. And
what the point I'm driving to is, you know, the black people here in Colombia, I don't think they're given the same leverage.
Exactly. As
their compatriots, you know?
No, so, not at all.
Yeah, so when they see a black foreigner as a university lecturer, they're really surprised. And the kind of reception they give to the black person from Africa who is not Colombian is different. And that's one thing I've noticed here. Like the black Colombians here, the Afro-Colombians don't get the same leverage of treatment as, you know, we the black people coming from Africa, or we the black people holding those kind of positions like teaching in the universities and colleges and high schools. And that's something, maybe it might be like their system that is being structured in that way, but I think there's some kind of preferential treatment when it comes to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. That's true. So like on many occasions, I was being stopped by like police officers, like on the road, like asking me to show my ID and the ID of the bicycle I'm riding.
Yeah.
Because it's like expensive bicycle, and as a black man, they don't expect me to that, like to have money to buy those bicycles, seriously. So on several occasions, they stopped me. So once they stopped me, and they were like, me police montras to documentos. So actually, we were riding, like there were a lot of cyclists like on the road. So I asked the policeman, why? ¿Por qué me pregunta para mis documentos? Why do you ask me about my documents? And he looked at me. He was kind of shocked because he was thinking I would just like put my hand in my pocket and give out the document. Wow. And he was there. Me por this monster. And I asked him again, why do you ask me to show my documents? Do I look like an armed robber or something? And he was there.
You know, I usually ask them, why didn't you ask the other guy? Like,
exactly. I'm driving to that. So he was there and he called the other guy to come. So the second guy came and he was like, what's the problem? And he told the other guy, he was asking me about, asking me to give my document and I'm refusing. And I asked the second guy, your friend was asking me to show my document because he saw me as a black guy riding an expensive bicycle, which he didn't believe I have money to buy that kind of bicycle. So I'm asking him why he thought I don't have money to buy the bicycle.
I've been into that situation a lot. Like people, they get surprised when they get to know that I'm a university lecturer and I'm a black man. And the first treatment they give me is different. But when they find out that one, I'm a foreigner, and two, I'm actually in the education sector, now they want to correct the wrongs. They want to approach me differently now. But for me, I set the tone right from the onset. I'm like, well, the way you treat me, my first encounter with you is how you show me the kind of person you are. So a lot of people that are, especially my neighbors, I have this personal experience with my neighbors. I moved into a new neighborhood and, you know, the Wi-Fi was expensive. So I wanted to like share with them. And then at the end of the month, we split the bill and we paid.
Yeah.
So I spoke to 5 of my neighbors, the same neighborhood. And nobody, like not even a single soul, was willing to do that. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, okay. So I go on my own internet. I got the people here to fix it. Yeah. And now, like a month through, they came, they realized that, no, he's a teacher. He's not like the person that we thought he was.
Exactly.
And now they started asking me for personal classes. I'm like, yo, I'm not doing that because you guys actually racial profiled me. And then you felt like I was a different person. And I didn't even want to, like, I was ready to pay for it. It wasn't for free. So
yeah.
I feel like these are some of the stuff that they need to, I mean, learn from. Like, yeah.
Exactly. So I basically think in Colombia today, they're kind of like racist a lot. They have a lot of racial abuse and stuff. But it all narrows down to how we react to them.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes they expect us to like be kind of timid and shy and stuff and just do what they want us to do. But if you stand tall and like try to show you know what you are doing, you know what you are saying, then they become ashamed of themselves and like repent from what they were trying to do.
All right.
And the similar thing happened when we started working at a university. You know, first we were in the volunteering program. We were there for like 2 years and later we got a job at the university. So initially it was kind of difficult to merge ourselves into the community because we're kind of the only black guys in the university. So sometimes when you go to some department, they kind of ask you some questions, like they're kind of suspicious because they don't even know who you are in the university.
Yeah. Right.
And everywhere you go, like they ask you for your ID. Like, what are you? It is docente, que haces aquí, que departamento estás en, like many other
questions.
So to a point, about a year, they realized, nah, these guys are different. Like, because the kind of attitude we portrayed in the university were kind of different. We actually disappointed them because they were thinking we were kind of like harsh, like we're bad guys. We are very, like, we are mannered and many stuff. But our attitude towards them rather was surprising because we relate to them like it is supposed to be. So it got to a point, we go to like different departments and we don't even have to show our IDs. We get there and they're like, oh, Professor Veniendo, siga. I was like, okay. So I feel like the whole thing is narrowed down to like our reaction and the kind of actions and things we showed to them. That is how they can change and understand where we come from.
All right.
Because if you are portraying like the animalistic stuff they think we are, then definitely they are going to continue thinking about us like that.
And I feel like when you can speak the language, they can trust you more. You know,
exactly.
It boils down to that too. So if you go to a place, you can relate to them. You can learn what their culture, you can learn about them. Then the level, you build some level of trust with those kind of people. I think that helps us a lot, especially coming from
Absolutely. Yeah. And Fiend, so, what do you got, Fiend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with my pals there talking about. Well, I don't remember the question exactly. What was the question again?
So the question was, when you're encountered with the perceptions of Africa, the continent, how do you deal with them and what can you do to help educate them and get a positive light?
Yeah, so like we were saying, Max and and I think Razak or Abdul Hussein, one of the best ways is to just educate them, you know, educate them on what they need to know, and don't reinforce or confirm the negative stereotypes, you know. Where I work right now, the leadership in the school is like, oh, you're so smart. I mean, they didn't expect me. I take, because in the school, they have this, they do this Tuesday, test Tuesday, they do what they call Matis de Breva for the students. And sometimes they apply that to the teachers to just to make sure that we are not like relenting, you know. So anytime they see my results, I'm always like beating even the Colombian teachers. These questions are in Spanish. Only 5 questions are in English in the thing. The questions are in Spanish. They know my level of Spanish. They know I didn't study here. I shouldn't have like the curriculum competence that they have. But of course, I remember my high school days. I remember what I've been taught. Education in Nigeria, for instance, is really good. I mean, we don't really appreciate that we have good education, but when you compare it to what they're getting, you know that, I'm very lucky, you know. Even in Ghana, even Africa as a whole, we have this discipline, you know. We were well-educated, I would say. So they get surprised, like, wow, Fee has, like, I'm always, like, top 10. We have, like, 50 teachers. I'm always, like, top 5, basically. And they're like, oh, really? You got this high score? So their perspective about us kind of changes. But then they still have this, the stereotype thing. They still think that, you should, maybe they know one African and they expect all of us to behave the same way. I'm like, we are individuals. Even if we're from the same country, we are still individuals. We have cultural similarities, but we're individuals. And I think Razak was talking about cycling. I don't know if it was Razak or Abdul. But coming to the point you were making about bicycles, you know. So when the police stopped me and they asked me for my ID, usually want to know if it's random, if it's a random check. So I when I see the police, I look at what they are doing. How many people are they stopping? What is the what can I perceive as the prerequisite for them to stop someone and ask for their ID? Is it the way they dress? Is it what they look like? I don't know. So I usually ask that. I usually look at that. And then if I see that there's some prejudice, I'll tell them like, or prejudice as Americans would pronounce it. I would say like, dude, why didn't you stop this guy and this guy? Why are you stopping me? There are times that I didn't give my ID, and I know that they can't really force you to give your ID.
Yeah.
They can't. So there are times that I don't give my ID, and there was a time in the terminal, I told the police officer like, if you didn't stop that guy, you didn't stop this guy, you didn't stop this guy, and you're stopping me, that is racism. That is prejudice because of my skin color. And I said, I'm not going to show my ID and there's nothing you can do about it. And he was like, what? He didn't know the laws. Actually, I know the laws. And it's something, that's also something that we have to do as foreigners, to know our rights as citizens and our duties as citizens in this country, you know? All right, so I think it's very, very, very important for foreigners to know their rights, their duties, especially when it comes to migration and issues. And then Anthony was saying that we have to stand tall, you know, and square our shoulders. We need to know what we can say in such situation. Maybe police is harassing you, you can say that you don't have your ID on you or something. And as challenge the police and educate him on issues that he doesn't know. Even many Colombian officials don't know the laws of the land. Sometimes I educate them and I'm like, did you know this? And did you know that? And did you know all this? So basically, we have to set examples to be able to, you know, educate them on where we're from and things like that. Show examples by, you know, our achievements in society, our morals, and know a lot of things. We have to know a lot of things. We have to know the legal system. We have to know our rights and duties, and be able to just open their minds. You know, a lot of Colombians have like closed mind. They know this much about life, and it's our responsibility to educate them, show them the real Africa, and have fun in the process. I mean, I've been having fun, and I love Colombia, really. So I would stop that answering that question there. I guess I've been able to do justice to it.
All right, and Razak, what do you have for us as far as dealing with the preconceptions that people kind of shoot at you and how you re-educate them?
No, man, I think my brothers have done justice. They've said it all. For me, what I usually do is, if I have my phone on me, I just show them the map of the world. I try to make them understand how big Africa is. I also try to remind them of the great countries we have. We have back home, like Egypt, like Nigeria, like Ghana, like the Ivory Coast, and what each country is known for in the world. Like Ghana is a huge gold producing country. We are like the biggest exporter of cocoa in the world as well. Nigeria produces oil. Egypt is where everything began in the world. So I just try sometimes to remind people about this stuff, because sometimes most people don't ask intentionally just to spite you, you know. I mean, of course there's people who just ask just to be racist, and I respond to them equally in the same way they ask me. But when I know people are just asking just out of genuine innocence, they just have no idea. They just think that, for example, the whole of Africa is one country. I just try to educate them, like my brother said, just try to, and also try to remind them. Sometimes I tell them, like, hey, Ghana won the FIFA under 20 World Cup. We beat Brazil. And that's what South Americans don't forget. They don't forget that football stuff.
All right. Go ahead, keep going, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes I remember in South Africa 2010, Luis Suarez stopped, blocked our shot with his hand. And like, they don't forget this stuff, you know. And then they start getting to notice that, oh, Ghana is a country, Africa as this country. So it's just the education part that's most necessary. And that's what I always try to do most of the time.
And that's beautiful, man. Like, you guys have added a volume and a dimension that people need to know about the continent of Africa, especially since, you know, we have multiple nations.
All right. Yeah, like, it's always great to have this kind of conversation. So thank you very much for inviting us. I'll say to people out there to keep listening to this educative and fun podcast. And all Africans out there, spread love, make the motherland proud, and have fun, you know, have fun pursuing your project wherever you are. That will be all from me. Have a fantastic one, everyone.
All right. Thank you, sir. Razak.
All right, man. It's always interesting to have these conversations. It's always a pleasure to be given the opportunity to educate people, most especially. And listen, keep on listening to the voices of my brothers, sisters, and friends. I think it is, Luis. and it's good. Wherever you are, in the diaspora, wherever you are, wherever you get the opportunity to educate people, tell them about the motherland, about the greatness of the motherland. It's very important. Thank you once again for having me.
Absolutely, and it's okay. It's people, but friends work too. All right, and finally, Anthony, you got the yellow jersey on. Close us out with the Tour de France, man.
Thank you very much, bro. I really appreciate this invitation. I actually didn't expect it to be a lot of this fun, but I really enjoyed it. I've learned a lot from my friends and my brothers. To close, I just want to encourage all the guys like that are in Colombia, that are in Latin America, that now we are the like the ambassadors for our motherland. So how we portray ourselves to the people is what they will know about us, because they won't have the chance to travel to our motherland, to travel to Africa, because most of them don't have the financial support to be able to do that. So we here are like the ambassadors. So our attitude, our characters, and everything we do is what they will see and judge us by, the majority that are living back home. So let's always try to show love and to show the rich culture that we have from our country to them. And with that, I think we can change a lot of like mindsets.
Well, I'm gonna try to get as many people that I know from the continent to give a firsthand account about the continent. But with where we are, and we've reached a time where we don't want to overwhelm people too much. We want them to digest and love the information you gave them. So the podcast is called Voices of My Brothers, Sisters, and People. And so for me, I like the last voice, the final words, to be the voices of the contributors for the episode. And so with this moment, I thank you all for being a part of this and educating and re-educating people, and given the dynamics and given the continent of Africa, countries and faces and personalities. So with that being said, I will leave the final word with you all, where the people will hear you last. And so it can be about something that we've been talking about today. It can be about another topic you may want to talk about. Anything you want to talk about, the final word is on you. I'll give you a minute or so to get your thoughts out. And I thank you genuinely from the bottom of my heart, being a Black American person, knowing that there's more to Africa than just skin color. And so because that's the case, thank you. And so we will start in this order. We will start with Ibrahim, followed by Max, followed by Razak, followed by Fiend, and Anthony, because you're the cyclist, you're going to close us out Tour de France style, man.
All right, man. So first of all, like, thank you very much for having us. It was a very, very interesting conversation. I have to tell you, as somebody from Egypt, I learned a lot today about what my friends here said, like, you know, about culture and history in Ghana, what is happening right now, you know, in Nigeria, like Fien was saying. And so, like, even for us, like, people who were born and raised and lived their whole life in Africa, there are 54 countries. You can never know everything. It's always good to go out there, look for information, and learn. You know what I mean? Because you will never know everything, and it's always a good idea to keep learning, and you'll never stop learning anytime in your life. You know, and it's the same. It's not just Africa. You know, every region, every continent, every place in the world, we need to actually learn about these places. We need to talk to people. We need to be open-minded and to accept everybody, no matter who they are, where they come from. And we just need to remind ourselves that we are all in the end humans. You know, I have traveled like a lot all over this planet, and I can tell you that humans at a basic level are all the same, and their diversity, okay, in terms of culture, in terms of country and tradition, it's really what makes us all like beautiful, and we can all fit together, and we can all live together, and it's just a matter of having this idea that you can learn from anybody, and you have to accept everybody. So thank you very, very much for this opportunity, man. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Awesome, Max.
Oh man, yeah. Like my brother said, I just want to thank you also. You know, I'm always looking for a platform where I can also share my thoughts on views like this or issues like this. And these are the kind of conversations that we need. And I'm always happy when you talk about your podcast. And I've always wanted to be on, you know. And I mean, when you send me the invitation, I didn't even think twice. So like my brother said, there's beauty in diversity, and we need to have this kind of conversation so we learn more about each other. We educate and re-educate ourselves. And because, you know, we don't have to stop learning, because, you know, life will never stop teaching us. And once we always come together, we build our strength in unity. And I feel like we are doing our part as Africans, And I feel like the world should also be open to changes and to open to new cultures. And we've not had our fair share when it comes to, you know, people understanding the whole African concept. I mean, people should have the freedom to think, but not to think falsely about, and also not to believe the negative news or the negative information they receive from a particular continent. Because, you know, the countries in Africa are absolutely different, and every country is totally different in terms of language, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of the people. So we should be also open-minded to receive that kind of change. And when we understand each other more, that's when we can live together as different people. And Africa has been playing a role, like huge, big time role in the development of the world in terms of sports. And if you look at the, I mean, we were hit by, you know, colonialism, and coming back from that, it's not easy. You know, when you have a whole continent, a whole people being colonized, and they're trying to find their roots again, it takes time. You know, that's why probably people build up all these perceptions. And we've come a long way, especially from Ghana, right from independence. And we as individuals, we've been through a lot. We've all had our individual struggles, and we're still making it. But that doesn't mean that we're losing our identity where we are. Like, I live in Colombia, but I still have my Ghanaian identity, and I still feel African here. And whenever I'm being given that platform, I try to prove that. And also, I want to say that there is a saying that when you go to Rome, you have to do what the Romans do. So that doesn't mean I don't respect the Colombian cultures and all that, but I still hold on to my identity as an African. And that is what is keeping me going. Yeah. So once again, thank you. And I hope to be back again.
Absolutely, sir. And Fiend.